This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump hailed what he called the brilliant work of the FBI that led to the indictment of former FBI Director James Comey. But that criminal indictment was signed by just one person, Lindsey Halligan, the newly appointed U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia. ABC News legal analyst James Samples says that's noteworthy.
You have no one else in the office. There are 100 assistant U.S. attorneys in the Eastern District of Virginia. No one other than Lindsey Halligan, Trump's personal choice for this particular rubber stamp, even signed the indictment.
The FBI Agents Association called Director Kash Patel's firing of agents photographed kneeling during a protest in Washington in 2020 unlawful. The Times summoned the FBI said the kneeling was considered a possible de-escalation tactic during protests. Government funding runs out Tuesday, a shutdown's possible Wednesday, and there are no talks scheduled for the weekend between Democrats and Republicans. This is ABC News. New details have emerged about the man who shot and killed four people at the New York City building that houses the NFL's headquarters.
Shane Tamura had the traumatic brain condition known as CTE. The New York City Office of the Chief Medical Examiner has announced that confirms what Tamura had written in a note this past July before he killed four people with a rifle and a handgun in a Manhattan skyscraper, one that houses the offices of the National Football League. Tamura also wrote the NFL was concealing the dangers to players' brains to maximize profits. Tamura died by suicide. Pathologists do not say whether CTE played a role. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Police in Austin, Texas say a significant breakthrough led investigators to Robert Eugene Brashers as the man who killed four teenage girls in a yogurt shop in Austin in 1991. Brashers died in 1999. The case was recently reexamined in an HBO documentary series. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Make every day extraordinary with something special from Wisconsin. From artisan cheeses to fresh produce to maple syrup, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Something Special from Wisconsin program is proud to work with member businesses that certify their Wisconsin-made and processed products. Look for the red and yellow sticker and visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to find member businesses and products made with care, quality, and love. Sponsored by Wisconsin DATCP.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Proposed federal cuts to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and the Environmental Protection Agency could ripple across the Great Lakes, threatening economies, public health, and of course, the environment. Farah Siddiqui reports from Michigan.
Leaders gathered this week along the Rogue River to urge Congress to reject the proposals. Bentley Johnson, Federal Government Affairs Director for the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, says the agencies provide essential data, allowing collaboration between farmers, industry, and communities.
We need to have reliable scientific information that's gathered, forecasts being put out months in advance that farmers can make decisions about. And what we're seeing with cuts is the potential for weather stations to close.
NOAA and EPA efforts have helped restore polluted rivers and protect drinking water, with the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative alone returning $3 in economic activity for every dollar invested. Beth Gibbons, director of the Washtenaw County Resiliency Office, warns the cuts would make communities more vulnerable to climate-driven disasters. She says the city of Ann Arbor has seen a 48% increase in overall rain in the past 50 years.
Being able to understand how that change in rain has happened, both in the amount of rain falling overall, but how it is falling in more intense and more frequent storms is really important in order for us to be able to design our infrastructure properly.
Officials argue investments in resilience and environmental protection safeguard health, reduce disaster costs, and support jobs. Without federal support, they warn the risk to Michigan's Great Lakes farms and communities will only grow. I'm Farah Siddiqui. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Lots of sun today. We'll see highs in the upper 70s, south winds at about 5 to 10. For tonight, clear skies, no wind, mid 40s, sunshine with a high near 76 for Sunday. Sunday night, clear and 55, sunshine on Monday, high of 82.
Right now, it's 62.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will get a recap of all the weekend news with Civic Media News Director Sally Pittman. And we're going to talk about PFAS in Wisconsin Ducks with David Drake. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Bobby, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. I'm here with my friend, Bobby Wilson, Reservation Dogs, Rutherford Falls, just all around 1491ers. I got a chance to. I was in New York. It was about a year ago, and I got to see your play. It was amazing.
Thank you.
It was amazing. Hey, what brings you here to the beautiful state of Minnesota?
Well, I had some old warrants I needed to take care of, and so I flew in very under the radar.
Very
and,
good.
And you know, lo and behold, there's a 50th anniversary of the Minneapolis American Indian Center.
I know.
Hey. 50 years.
Now, in your younger years, did you used to, like, when it closed, were you hanging out outside here smoking cigarettes and stuff? Or
when they were open and closed, yeah. This is where I learned how to smoke. I was probably 10 years old, bumming smokes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
From you.
No. Oh, wait, I'm not teaching anymore.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry no. Yeah.
Well, Bobby, you know, the community's so proud of you, and I'm so happy to have you on the show again. And I just am flabbergasted that you're going to be the MC here, and you got your lucky hat on, and we're ready to go. Let's catch up. What have you been doing? I know there's a lot of stuff opening up here, and I know a lot of your friends are opening up some movies, some TV shows. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's an exciting time, you know. I always thought that whenever I would get involved in, you know, screenwriting, filmmaking, and television, that I would just be, like, out in Hollywood all the time. Man, I spend, like, 90% of my day at home on the computer writing, Zooming for meetings, asking people to make TV shows.
Yeah.
You know, that's the majority of it, and I love it. It's so cool. You know, I got to work on a show at Nickelodeon. We just recently ended our contract. We wrote a whole series, and you know, hopefully it'll be out. It's animated. It'd be great if it comes out in the next couple of years.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, animation takes a long time, so
Mm-hmm. You know, they draw those little pictures.
Yeah, they draw their little pictures one at a time there.
Hey, I got to, before I forget, Reservation Dogs, there was one show that you wrote, and Cheese was in what seemed to be Enda Young. I don't know. Do you remember that episode you wrote?
I'll never forget that episode I wrote.
Well, good, because for a second there when I was looking at you, I thought I was talking about somebody else. But, yeah, exactly. So,
yeah, no, I was really fortunate in season two. So season one, Lane Factor, who plays Cheese in Reservation Dogs, he was very much a newbie. When it came to acting, you know, this was his first role.
Yeah.
Huge first role, you know, for an acting debut, you know, to get on a show like this. And he's an amazing kid, Lane Factor. He learned so much between seasons one, two, and three. He just grew all the main cast kids grew so much with each season. And for Lane, he didn't have a focused episode in season one. Because he was so new. So, you know, you have like a very Willie Jack focused episode and Allura, a bear, you know, they all kind of get their moment. You know, you see where they live, you meet their families. The only ones who you didn't meet were Cheese's relatives, you know. You never knew what his home life was like.
Right.
And so in season two, I pitched that maybe he was a homeless kid who's being taken care of by the community, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was so fortunate that Sterling was receptive to the idea of putting him into a county boys home. Yeah. Not in Young, not a shelter. But I stayed at a county boys home in the east side for about 2 years. East side of St. Paul for about 2 years.
How old were you?
16 until I aged out at the age of 18.
So that's when I kind of knew you and your posse.
Yeah, party. Yeah. When you know
when
around
you checked in for milk, you had a milk and then you left and you stopped in for breakfast and then you had things to do.
Yeah. Get the hell out of there and you know, go try to find money on the on the ground.
Yeah. Hey, there's Angie Begg. Good to see you. Angie. Well, I'll have to get you over here in a minute. Called Big Guitars on University Avenue. Angie Begg and her husband own Big Guitars, and it's just an amazing award-winning guitar shop.
Yeah.
I've had her on guests many times, and I've learned so much about guitars. Where
do you play?
A little bit.
Oh,
just a little bit. I play the trumpet, though. That's my claim to fame.
Oh, yeah. You're into the brass.
Right on.
Brass section.
Yeah.
That's what
and then Harding, I had a drumline for 10 years.
Dang, before, for real?
Yeah. And an all-native homeroom for the last 10 years of my career.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's getting close with the peeps. But, you know, I just that show that we're talking about with Cheese, and that just warmed my heart. It really did, and it really hit me in a good way. And it was cool because at the credits I saw that you wrote it, and I went, right on. Right on.
Yeah, it was a great experience doing that, you know. And for season two, you know, I couldn't have been happier with the performance as Lane Factor delivered for that thing, you know.
I like, too, what Reservation Dogs did, too. They ended it after 3 years and leaving us wanting for more as opposed to going, okay, they've run their course. This is, you know, kind of like a Ricky Gervais, what he does with all his stuff. So he does 3 years and he's out the door, right?
Yeah, you know, you got to check out Sterling's new show, The Lowdown, too.
Yeah.
It's an incredible noir. He's that's really his wheelhouse. Sterling's a huge noir fan.
I got to tell you, too, Ethan Hawke, now I'm sure you've met him a bunch of times because he did a couple.
I've never met him.
Well, you wrote for Reservation, and he played the father.
He did,
And unbelievable. I got to just say this about Ethan Hawke. I've been at protests in Washington, D.C. for Native Americans, Dakota Access Pipeline, and he was there with his kids, his young kids.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a selfie. You know me, the selfie king. I looked at him and he went,
"Little dodging tear gas canisters just to get a selfie." Ting, ting, ting.
Rubber bullets. Yeah. Oh.
Stalk.
No dog. Oh, hey, look at I got I'm legit now. The table 34. I think
he's
lot.
Way out. He's they put him outside. They didn't like the X body spray.
Oh, yeah. So what are you got cooking now? I know you've been here in the Twin Cities for a few days. I know you helped. There was a food contest. Here's some former students. Hoa. Look at, she waved with the little finger there. That was good.
That's a bougie wave.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I guess. But what do you got cooking now? I know you were doing some art in St. Paul last time I heard. And
I've got some fun stuff in the works. You know, a major network just made an offer on a show that I'm trying to make with Lily Gladstone.
Nice.
And my co-writer, Mark Goffman.
Wow.
Mark is a very seasoned screenwriter. He worked on West Wing. Yeah. That's how old school he is.
Yeah, great.
He show ran this really fun procedural horror crime for Fox called Sleepy Hollow back in the day.
Wow.
And then he it was fun. It was a fun little show. And then he did Umbrella Academy on Netflix, which is a really great graphic novel adaptation. It's like superhero kids, but it's like a rugged family, you know. It's fun.
Wow.
So hopefully that becomes something. It would take place here in Minneapolis, too.
Wow. Hey, I'm here with Bobby Wilson, and we're just catching up here. It's the 50th anniversary of Minneapolis Indian Center here, and it is so beautiful here. can you just stay with me for one more quick segment?
Yeah.
All right, I know I owe you. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back. Hey, Bobby, thank you so much for not swearing yet. We're ready for you. We'll be right back, Native Roots Radio.
Eagle 1490 AM.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt Nair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, I think we're on, Bobby. This is Native Roots Radio. Welcome back. Hey, Native Roots Radio here, where it's the 50th anniversary of this beautiful building and beautiful people here. I love how at the Indian Center in Minneapolis, I love how they kept the gym the same.
I know. It's how many times we, you know, tried to make out with people about down out in that gymnasium there, you know, with those what do you call them? They're not. I almost call them pews.
the bleachers.
Yeah.
Bleachers. Oh.
Rafters. I don't know why I couldn't remember the name. Bleachers.
Wow. Hey, I heard a story from somebody, and they were talking basically how the 1491ers started, and you guys were like, just kicking back, doing your thing, and you had a key to a couple places where you could get inside and do some shooting. And if people don't know what I'm talking about, there's a Facebook page with millions and millions of views of the 1491ers in the beginning of Reservation Dogs and the play between two knees. That was an unbelievable play. And that place was packed. I saw it at the PNC in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. That was a great show. We're still doing it. We're doing it again. We're meeting up in November to do some rewrites for it. But it'll be at the University of Michigan first. And then we're making a touring version of it.
That's cool.
Yeah, so we'll try to get it around. Hopefully we come here, go down to Arizona, Oklahoma, and just kind of, you know, find different places to show it again.
I never saw it the first time around, and I thought that you guys were in it, but you just wrote it, huh?
Yeah, it was our first group project that we weren't in.
That's amazing. And, you know, I found out all about that. There was a book that came about 3-4 years ago about Native American comedians.
Yeah.
And it had a whole chapter about you guys.
Right.
It was really cool. And
it's called There's a Little Real Estate Problem, or We Had a Little Real Estate Problem.
Yeah. And I tried to get him on the show when it first came out, and I read the book from beginning to end. As a matter of fact, I got the audiobook, so when I did my walking and exercising, that I listened to it. It was just awesome. It was great, and he couldn't get on. He was going to Hawaii or something for a month, and it was just like, oh, okay, well, I guess you don't need me to promote
the book. Yeah, well, excuse him, moi.
No doubt. But just the roots and you guys really doing this fun comedy that you kind of it ended up being really universal with the 1491s, where you're kind of just doing it for yourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we were just having fun, you know. Most of the art that, you know, I'd like to be a part of making is I just want to have fun. Just want to enjoy this life, you know. And having a bunch of other Indian guys who felt the same way, you know, we were just trying to make each other laugh. And we were succeeding, you know, cracking each other up, coming up with stupid scenarios and filming them. And other people liked it. And I think that they could see how much fun we were having. And that kind of transferred to our viewers.
I have a store at Dayton's, and also I do the state fair now. It's called Native Roots Trading Post.
Oh, okay.
But I love that skit when you guys are in that
Indian
store.
Yeah. That's what you got? You got an Indian store?
Not quite like that, but yes.
Selling some Peruvian goods?
No.
Some pan flutes?
No, no. It's all legit. We make sure. Believe you me, because I don't know if you been to the fair over the years. I'm sure you have, but
I used to work at the fair.
Yeah, that's probably a story and a half, but you know, we're the only Native booth out there, and we're surrounded by Native inspired stuff. So we make sure that our stuff is legit, and so that's amazing. There goes my co-host just walked by there, and Robert Lilligren. He's looking sharper than me. I hope I'm in the same table.
Wow, all the Bobs. 3B. 3B. Well, I think we need to get all of us together on this.
It's funny, too, because when a lot of times when Robert's on, he's usually on Thursdays, is I have Bob Blake from Red Lake on, too. And Solar Bear with
Bob
the
Blake
Solar
from
News.
Red Lake. You know about talking about Bob Blake from Red Lake?
Yeah. Solar Bear with the Solar News. And now we've we've changed it to not only solar news, but to sports. So now, because he's a big Vikings fan, and I'm like, okay.
Oh, great. So, yeah. Hey, somebody's got to do it.
Oh, no doubt. So where are you living now?
I live in Phoenix, Arizona.
Wow. A lot of Indians down there.
A lot of Indians. Oh, no. I did it. I did it.
Did you guys catch that on the mothership? They're good at that. It just,
okay, good.
It doesn't, like, it's a 7-second delay. It doesn't go, you know, play music or anything. It goes wow, wow, wow. So maybe they'll be able to figure out what it is.
There's a ton of Indians in Phoenix, Arizona.
That's cool.
Autumn people. Well, that's autumn means people. So there's autumn Indians.
You're not changing tribes on me now. Right?
Oh, wait, no, I'm Navajo. I'm Navajo now.
Oh.
Yeah. I was born and raised Dakota. Now I'm Navajo.
Wow. So, again, what do you got? I'm all over the place, aren't I? What do you got going? What do you got cooking? I know you're doing some art in St. Paul.
Yeah, you know, I also, I'm going to do a mural in the east side of St. Paul this coming spring. We got some grant funding secured for that, just applying for the permits with the city. The city has not historically been very supportive of a lot of arts, at least in terms of, like, ordinances, but I go on and on about how much I hate St. Paul and Minneapolis government anyway, so I won't get started. But I'm very excited to come back for that. I also
Is that with Wakan Teepee, or is that
That's right.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Maggie Teepee. Lorenz and my old friend Barry Hand, who I love.
Yeah, Barry Hand. Yeah,
I knew him when he was Barry Frantum, but that's another show.
I remember the Frantum. Yeah,
yeah. He always reminds me when he introduces me to his relatives. He goes, "Oh, Pilots Ho-Chunk, and you know they eat people." It's like, okay, Barry,
like he's never ate somebody,
right? Exactly. Ceremonial.
Yeah. It can be ceremonial.
Yeah. So what else is going on? Okay, so we got art going. You know, I was really, what do you call your art? Because you showed some of your art too, and I thought it was kind of modern / kind of cartoony.
I don't call it anything, man. I let other people call it what they need to call it. You know, I just like to make stuff.
I know.
I like to bead. I like to draw. I like to paint. I like to write. I like to get up and talk in front of people. Tell jokes, you know, it's all part of the artist sphere.
Yeah, and you know,
what I love to do.
I just gotta say this too, and I know you got to get going, and people are waiting to talk to you and do selfies, and I stole you away, but you're gonna be the MC here at 7 o'clock,
and I
just want to tell you how proud I am, and I know the community is of you, really, really,
Bob. And, you're not my real dad.
Oh, okay.
But you're getting there. You're getting there.
Don't make me cry. Don't make me cry. Wow, this is going to be exciting. A lot of so you got jokes? Any jokes that you want to tell us ahead of time for tonight? Is this ad lib?
Yeah, it's mostly ad lib.
I like that.
I might tell a couple of rugged stories, you know, from back in the day.
Right. We were talking a little bit about. How 1491er started. You guys broke in, or you happened to have a key. You worked somewhere, and you guys.
That's right. I was a summer contractor for a mural project at the Little Earth.
Bob, you want to join us? Bobby's only going to be here for a minute.
I'm trying to leave. Little grin. Not like leave. I'm trying to leave. You know,
this kind of thing.
Leave that. Good to see you.
You want to just put the headphones on and the hand mic for right now, and then we'll switch it up, Bob.
Yeah, you want to get handy?
We only got a We only got a few minutes here before we break, but you got a handheld. Let me make sure. Give me a test right quick.
Test.
We're on the radio.
You sound good. You sound good. Hey, Robert Lilligren, who's usually on Thursday nights, and. He's here with us. Oh, here's another celebrity.
It's the Rachel Thunder, Rachel Dion Thunder.
We'll have to interview you in a little bit after you have one of those fake mocktails and get you going here.
Really sagey. Tastes good.
Oh, good. Mm. Well, hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, Robert Bobby Wilson, and Robert Bobby Pilot. This is the three. It's the Roberts show.
It often is.
Three B's. I don't go by Robert.
Oh, all right. I go for Bobby. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to come back here. Bob's got to run around, but I really appreciate you saving me. I really do. And I know I'm not your dad, but I'm still proud of you.
Give it a couple of years.
Yeah. I'm going to grow that white beard so I can be in your next project.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Oh, look at all these people. Look at all these people.
The stars are out. The stars are out tonight.
Wow. Look at that. Ooh, look at that beret. Wow.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Thank you, the great Bobby Wilson. Thank you so much for being on. And thank you for only swearing once.
Oh, yeah, caught me.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio, and I'm Bobby Wilson.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Bobby Wilson.
We'll be right back.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump hailed what he called the brilliant work of the FBI that led to the indictment of former FBI Director James Comey. But that criminal indictment was signed by just one person, Lindsey Halligan, the newly appointed U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia. ABC News legal analyst James Samples says that's noteworthy.
You have no one else in the office. There are 100 assistant U.S. attorneys in the Eastern District of Virginia. No one other than Lindsey Halligan, Trump's personal choice for this particular rubber stamp, even signed the indictment.
The FBI Agents Association called Director Kash Patel's firing of agents photographed kneeling during a protest in Washington in 2020 unlawful. The time, some in the FBI said the kneeling was considered a possible de-escalation tactic during protests. Government funding runs out Tuesday, a shutdown's possible Wednesday, and there are no talks scheduled for the weekend between Democrats and Republicans. This is ABC News.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
The Packers head to Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers take on the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow night on Sunday Night Football. Kickoff at 7:20 p.m. Green Bay with players missing from their offensive line. Tackle Zach Tom and his backup Anthony Belton ruled out for the game. Left guard Aaron Banks listed as doubtful with an ankle injury. Baseball, the Brewers still looking to clinch home field advantage in the playoffs when they host the Reds again tonight. The Crew losing to Cincinnati 3-1 on plays like in the sixth inning when the Reds' Eli De La Cruz hit a grounder into second, the ball hitting the bag and bouncing away.
That's some tough luck with a double play ball turns into a first and third instead of two outs. It turns into a first and third. They may not score that other run, so it would have changed the game maybe, but that's part of baseball. You know, you can't rely on luck to win or lose. So credit to the Reds. They're playing great. They haven't won too many games here in the last number of years, and they've done a good job of getting their team prepared. They're hoping they get in the postseason.
As Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Lots of sun today. We'll see highs in the upper 70s, south winds at about 5 to 10. For tonight, clear skies, no wind, mid-40s, sunshine with a high near 76 for Sunday. Sunday night, clear and 55, sunshine on Monday, high of 82.
It's 60 at our studios.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We don't always agree politically, but Bill McCosh.
Thanks for having me. You want to talk Brewers first?
It's been a really special season, and it's not whether you're wearing red or blue hats. It's yellow and blue.
How do you come together in politics? This is one of the ways.
Yeah.
Find some common ground, and then expand on that. And right. Then you got to listen
yeah.
to the other side.
Our neighbors are not our enemies. We can disagree politically, but still find ways to bring our community together.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local civic media radio station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Your local civic media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms.
Did you know 1 out of 5 adults worry about their mental health? It's Suicide Prevention Month, and talking saves lives. Call 988 anytime for support. A message from the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Lucas and director, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. Thank God it's Monday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, we're back here at the Indian Center, and Robert, this is the 50th anniversary gala. I'm so excited. And hey, we got a guest here that has a lot to do with what this building and a lot of cool native buildings around Turtle Island.
Yes, we do. And before I introduce our guest, I'll just note it's so fun to be here for this 50th anniversary gala. It's very fancy here in the Indian Center. It looks great. Lots of activities going on. But our guest here is the chair of the board of the Minneapolis American Indian Center. He happens to be the chair of the board of Native American Community Development Institute as well.
Wow.
He is a renowned architect. He was the architect on the rebuild and renovation here at the Indian Center.
Yeah.
And he's probably got maybe half a dozen other projects going on right here in the Minneapolis American Indian corridor, cultural corridor. And so it's a huge pleasure to introduce my White Earth brother, architect Sam Olvekson.
Bonjour, everyone. Thank you.
Hey, I'll turn you up there. I'm new at the board here. Go ahead.
All right. Bonjour, everyone. Thanks, Robert. And Robert?
Yeah. Hey, and we had Bobby Wilson on here, so we had the triple Roberts, but he told us.
He was by Bobby.
Robert squared.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, the beautiful building here. Let's talk about, the inspirations. I mean, there's so many things going on here that are so done right. I just want to say a big thank you and a big peenigigi, and this is just making everything awesome, Bob.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to thank people 50 years ago who were the original instigators of this. Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis has been the birthplace of many different movements aimed a lot of different activities, and so they set the groundwork for this, and their first building built in 1975 was an incredibly important piece of our cultural fabric. But over the years, it started to dilapidate. It's hard to raise capital funds for a nonprofit, and again, over the years, we had leaky roofs, we had more need and more capacity in the community that we needed to serve. And so about 15 years ago, NACTI started with the American Indian Cultural Community Blueprint.
Right.
And that was one of the instigators of this revival of Franklin Avenue. And since then, the visioning we've done has made this building and many others part of that whole effort. It's really become a movement of redevelopment and asset-based design.
It has. And for folks who aren't from this area, we're on East Franklin Avenue, the American Indian Cultural Corridor. It's a geography that's been identified with Native Americans for generations. And it's kind of rare in an American city to have such a strong Native presence. And just within a few blocks of where we're sitting is the legacy of our elders, the founders, now our ancestors, who founded these institutions here. A lot of it centered around the American Indian movement. And so now I am a little older than Sam, and we're of a similar generation, but it's how do we make sure that we're passing on this incredible legacy to the next generations?
Yeah, absolutely. And I really like, too, that you guys kept the same gym and the same stands and the same floor. And it's always great to come into a building and go, look at this is still the same here. And I feel good about it.
Yeah, one of the best compliments we got on this project was an elder. And this is something I overheard was, I'm so glad they didn't change the gym. I would have felt displaced. And so this has become such the center and heart of the community as a gathering place for so many different reasons, even tonight, we had to keep that history going. And so we renovated the building, we added onto it, but we kept the spirit of the original intention of the founders.
I love it. And Sam, as a boy, was a participant in programs here, right? I'm looking around. I see several other people that I know came here as children. And now they're leaders in the community, helping to move things along in this multi-generational way. And so there's just that deep history. I just love that.
Yeah, I mean, everyone in our community has some sort of strong connection to this place, whether through recreation, whether through powwows, and the important services that it provides, because it's really helped uplift our community in many, many different ways. That it's also uplifted other organizations that have kind of been born out of this center. People from the capacity building that this organization has helped broaden the amount of community services and businesses that we've had in our community.
Again, once they reopen too, how many things are happening here now. And I think you being on the board, it just appears to me that there's a lot more happening now, and it's open to the community. There's all these rooms that, you know, you can come here, and there's things going on constantly. And I don't think it was like that, Robert.
Not as high profile, I don't think. And next month, our organization, NACD, Native American Community Development Institute, is hosting a tour of the American Indian Cultural Corridor for this national group called Grant Makers in the Arts. So these are philanthropic, some public sector, but people who support the arts. And our section, our tour here, sold out right away, so we'll have a full crowd. But we couldn't even get a room here because there's so much demand for the space. So we finally are going to use the gym for our event and for our meal. And we felt it was very important to be in this building. Right. And then from here, we'll go down to our All My Relations Arts Gallery in our building, just a block down the street. And Angela Chusar is our arts vice president. Will give a talk about the latest show and the history of the gallery and stuff. But we just wanted to be here. And at first they said, oh, no, we don't have anywhere for you. And so I played the reciprocation card, and I said, well, I was on the capital campaign committee for this building. And, you know, so I don't really call in a lot of favors like that very often, but for us it was very important to be in this space.
I got to say this, too, because we have a vast listening audience from all over Wisconsin, Michigan, and Illinois. We're on Civic Media and also AM 950 here locally. The avenue has changed so much in my lifetime, but only not only that, but maybe even the last 15, 20 years, you guys.
Yeah, when I was growing up here in the 70s and the 80s, you'd walk down the street and there was a bunch of liquor stores and a bunch of thrift shops. And while that was a kind of a fun, lively atmosphere, it didn't send the message that we wanted to send to our youth. And so over the past at least 15, 20 years, we've been slowly accessing parcels that have been available. So we need the land. We need the institutions and the investments in our community. So really this has all been an investment in our community by our community. And it's really about self-determination within the corridor. And NACD, All My Relations Arts, was one of the first catalysts of that little yellow building where people can get coffee, has been the site of so many important community conversations.
You're here. Our little yellow building houses Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop, All My Relations Arts Gallery, our offices as well. And it has become kind of iconic through the years, surprisingly. And so today we had our Four Sisters Farmers Market.
Oh, yeah.
There we had our Pickle Off, which is our fourth annual.
It was rocking today.
It was. You know, Elizabeth Day, who's a former NACD employee and now works for State Agriculture Food Sovereignty Grant Program. And she was one of the judges as well. And she managed the Four Sisters Farmers Market when it was maybe half a dozen vendors.
Wow.
Right? And she said our weekly average attendance was something like between 20 and 30 people. Mm-hmm. And now it's up in the hundreds, 200 to 300 people every week.
Look at you guys. I just want to say there's Leah Lim, the famous NPR person. We don't like to talk about NPR on our station, but but we will give you a shout out because you're doing good and doing great in the community. There she goes.
Yes. NPR was at the market today. I don't know if you saw him. Hey, Mar, we're seeing all of our friends here.
Yeah,
everyone looks like a million bucks.
I didn't recognize you with the curls. Oh, wow.
Very grown up.
Yes, yes.
Lots of beautiful ribbon skirts as well.
So what other things have you been doing? I know you're really involved with the St. Paul, help me out here. I just said their name, too, a few minutes ago.
St. Paul Indians in Action?
No, with Maggie Lorenz.
Oh, the Walk On
team. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
So that's another important cultural building that's going to be opening in the next couple months, and that's down in what used to be the Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary.
Yeah.
But it's a way of reclaiming our historic sacred spaces and really putting it in indigenous control. Same thing with Shelley Buck and those at Awamnee Okwakiapi.
Yeah.
We're working on a new project that's going up right now with Antony State with Native American community.
Oh my gosh, yes, huge.
And there are a number of other different opportunities that are going up and down Franklin. What we're really trying to do is really connect this neighborhood back to all of the important amenities in the city. The river, downtown, our communities, and really expanding this idea of we're not confined to Franklin Avenue, but this is our heart, but we're going to expand out and really reclaim all of the important cultural territory in this area.
And I love that Sam picked up these two projects, the Walk On Teepee in St. Paul,
yes.
The Awamnee Okwakiapi here in Minneapolis. These were extremely, preeminently sacred sites of the Dakota people that were severely desecrated through colonization, industrialization, and a lot of damage was done to these sites. And so we can't go back. We can't change the past, but we can move forward with a better understanding of the importance of these sacred sites and ways to honor them. And Sam's architecture is doing that.
I just, we got only a couple minutes here. I'm curious, what schooling did you do to get to where you're at right now? And
Roosevelt High School.
Southside. Southside.
Anderson Elementary.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize that part.
Yeah. But I did go to Cornell for my undergraduate
and
the GSD at Harvard for my graduate school. And I really wanted to focus on seeing other areas of the country and then bring that stuff back. I think one of the things that I was taught when I was young is that a measure of success isn't making it out of your community. It's making it and then coming back to your community and helping making it better. And so that's what our firm Full Circle Indigenous Planning and Design aims to do, is to really focus our efforts on rebuilding our community and other indigenous communities from a design perspective.
That's amazing. And thank you so much for saying that.
Well, I think it's important to note as well that Sam's investing in the next generations, trying to build a bench of Native designers, Native architects. Sam holds a workshop, a camp, design camp?
Yeah, Indigenous Design Camp for youth every year. And a number of people working on that. There's one other architect, Mike Labrador, in the state, and some others that are working hard to really help the emerging next generation of designers, because they need to be the ones designing our communities.
Wow. Thank you so much, and thank you for stopping in. This is just... I've always wanted to have you on the show.
Somebody asked me this morning if I was ever on your show, and I said no.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and it's the 50th anniversary of the Indian Center here in Minneapolis. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
and also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. We're here at the Minneapolis Native American Center here, the 50th anniversary party. And we just got, Robert and I just saw Jada, downtown Jada Brown. Great to see you, Jada.
Bonjour, hi.
Bonjour, yeah, Jada Brown, a fixture here in the community.
Yes, and you'll be performing tonight.
Yeah, I was really honored to be asked to perform for the 50th anniversary a few months ago. So been looking to it. Forward to it for a few months and to walk in the building and just to see, you know, all the so many amazing people here and to see all like the red carpet and the dinner and the silent auction and you know, a lot of things going on.
Jada's career as a performer, singer, musician is really just taking off, and it's been so great to watch that. So congratulations on all your successes.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's really taking off on Franklin Avenue.
Yeah.
And I've been, you know, performing at the Akito Festival earlier this year, yeah, and St. Paul, the big tattoo convention, indigenous tattoo convention, and now performing at the 50th anniversary gala. It's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
So, Jada, one of the things I got to ask you before I forget, because I got some timers, and sometimes I remember and sometimes I forget, but I want you to be able to tell people where they can hear your music, how and with Spotify, your Facebook, and your YouTube before I forget. Let people know how they can hear you.
Yeah, you can find me at Jada Brown on Apple or Spotify, Facebook, YouTube, link bio / Downtown Jada Brown. If you Google Downtown Jada Brown, you can find me anywhere. I have upcoming singles coming out in the next few months, so stay tuned. A lot of exciting things.
That is exciting.
You know, what I really like about Franklin Avenue, Native American Community Development Institute, these things here, what I really like is that they really are amplifying young people.
Here.
And, you know, being a former teacher, that's what it's all about, and uplifting. And so there's a lot of people that are behind you, and it's just great to see, and it's a great feeling, and you're so talented.
I love seeing all the other young folks getting positions and doing language classes. And even, like, I always watch Hopa Stevens here, who does the Dakota language words for the American Indian Center.
Cool.
Yeah.
Man, folks on the radio can't see this, but we have this ever-shifting parade of very fabulous-looking people, Native folks, all dressed up, people I'm so used to seeing them in there every day, like you, like me.
Yeah.
It's nice to see when people put a little effort in.
Yeah, I'm always in sweats, so I broke out the skirt.
You're always in sweats in person, and then I'll see on social media these shots of you, headshots or promo shots, where you're just glamorous. I'm like, whoa.
Wow.
Thank you, Robert.
Jada Brown at her most glamorous.
Right on. Yeah, I'm shorts. I think I'll be wearing shorts until November because of global warming, but normally I'm done by October and start in April, but you know how things are.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I wanted to say, forgot to mention it earlier. I'm performing with Vinnie Franco, who's accompanying me on guitar and vocals today. And he's a fabulous Twin Cities musician as well.
That's tonight.
Yep.
Oh,
well,
lovely.
He's going to be playing guitar with me tonight.
I love
for
it.
The dinner.
And you said it's 7:20.
Yep.
Awesome. By then me and Robert will have this all torn down and be able to mingle.
Oh, good. Enjoy dinner.
Kidding. So it's crazy. So you know, do we ask you to sing a song or to do a quick acapella or something if you want? I mean, we have time.
She's an artiste, Robert. She's
I
an
know,
artiste.
I
she
know.
Don't throw a mic in her face. And
I know. Thank
she's
goodness.
Not a performing monkey.
Oh my goodness!
I'll do a little spiel for Native Roots Radio.
Right, love it. There you go.
Native Roots Radio, you're tuned in to the way AM 95.
Wow.
Nice.
So I can
use
it
as
a
get a release on
I mean, I could make a way cooler one, but that's just off the top of my head.
very good.
I have to get permission. Can I use that as a bumper?
Yeah.
Right on. You're my witness. So
okay. Well, there's, and all your millions of listeners.
Millions.
As
yes.
Well,
that's Jada. So where can we hear you next live? What's happening on your schedule?
I'm performing at the Red Sea in Minneapolis tomorrow.
Cool. Oh.
With 2-for-1, who's a Dakota Puerto Rican musician.
Cool.
And with some other people. So tomorrow at the Red Sea, tomorrow night at 9 p.m. And then on on the 11th at NACD, I'll be performing for the film festival that's going on.
Oh, great.
Short Me and films. Colin Monette, who's also from the Turtle Mountains.
Great. Yeah, we had to reschedule that due to weather, so I'm glad you can make a rescheduled event as well. But it's very exciting. In October
11th at 6 p.m.
Yeah, wow. So it'll be half a dozen short films produced by Native film producers and directors.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, Jada, I know you want to get out there and see the crowd here, but I wanted to get you on, and it was great to see you again. And
thank you.
Thank you for the bumper. We'll be using that.
Yeah,
I love it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Great collect. Okay,
yeah.
Right on.
Well, Robert, you know, I before you get going here, we got like 2 or 3 minutes here before you have to take off. And one of the things I'd like you to do is just talk a little bit about the pickle and what else is going on in Native American Community Development Institute here on the Avenue. Like we do an update on that.
Yeah, I would really encourage people to go to our website, NACDI.org, NACDI.org. But there's always something going on. We have our All My Relations Arts Gallery, which is this, by square foot, a fairly tiny gallery, but it has this outsized impact. And a number of national, international Native arts careers have been really launched from our little gallery. We have a new show opening up in mid-October called Love Language, and there'll be a lot of co-programming around that. One of our All My Relations Arts Gallery alums, Deanne Whitehawk, has a huge show opening up at Walker Arts Center next month as well, and she is an international superstar. Lovely to see you. International superstar now, and it started out in our little gallery, and then the Walker Arts Center is our premier contemporary arts institution here in Minneapolis. So we'll be doing some co-programming with the Walker Arts Center and All My Relations Arts during that show. So that'll be exciting. We're wrapping up. We have just a few weeks left of our Four Sisters Farmers Market every Thursday between 11 and 3. It is kind of the place to see and be seen on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And then our farm, our food sovereignty effort, our Four Sisters Farm, is harvesting and getting ready for the winter, and just really successful event. And then, of course, we have our Make Voting a Tradition.
Yes.
And in Minneapolis, this is a municipal election year, so we're really ramping up to help engage our communities in the elections process.
Wow, that's awesome. We've got a minute left here. This is just an amazing, just to seeing the people come in and out of here. This is like the who's who in the Native community, but also we have a lot of allies here, too.
A lot of allies, and it's interesting to watch folks that I've never seen before, and they have sponsor name tags on, and so they're people who are, you know, putting out some resources so we can do events like this. But it is a joy to see so many people from the community here as well.
Well, Robert, thank you as always, and thank you for co-hosting the first hour here. And we got another half hour left to go here, and then we're going to all have fun here. But this is Robert's going to take off, and this is Native Roots Radio at the American Indian Center here in Minneapolis 50 Gala. We'll be right back in a few minutes. Stay with us, please.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Todd Allbaugh.
She's a broadcasting legend in Wisconsin, and we're lucky enough to have her here at Civic Media. We start our new segment. Jane Matnair joins us for Matnair Mondays. Next time, join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. ABC News has learned that one of the criminal charges filed against former FBI Director James Comey centers on information allegedly disclosed that related to an investigation into Hillary Clinton. ABC's Selena Wang has more.
Just hours after former FBI Director James Comey was indicted, President Trump signaling there will be more indictments to come.
There'll be others. I mean, they're corrupt.
Comey has been the target of Trump's ire for nearly a decade, the president blaming him for the investigation into allegations of Russian interference during the 2016 election.
The Supreme Court allowed the Trump administration to hold back $4 billion of foreign aid that had already been approved by Congress, but the administration says should not be spent. No talks scheduled this weekend on government funding discussions. That runs out Tuesday. A shutdown's possible Wednesday. And the Carolinas could be in the crosshairs of a storm system that led the governor of South Carolina to declare a state of emergency. This is ABC News. Dozens of delegations walked out of the United Nations General Assembly Friday as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke. He said Israel's under an existential threat and will continue to fight. ABC's Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz has more.
The final remnants of Hamas are holed up in Gaza City.
Netanyahu flatly rejected the idea of a two-state solution and condemned the countries now recognized